Morning. Anybody on the call with me yet? On October the 5th at 7?
Yes, Betty Walsh.
Betty?
Yes, in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Great.
Yes.
How's it going back there?
It's going just fine.
Good, good. How long have you been on the call?
I think it's just been like a week and a half.
Good. Well, we're certainly glad to have you, that's for sure.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here with you.
Are you getting any good information you feel is beneficial?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. It's been a lifesaver.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Well, I started out basically just kind of floundering around, trying to figure out which way to go, and this has given me such a great direction that I feel much more comfortable in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way, Monty. This is Maddie.
Good morning, Maddie. Mm-hmm. Delaware.
Jim from Delaware.
Jim's here, too. Good morning, Jim. Glad to have you on the call. Yeah, we were just talking to Betty in Philadelphia.
Pittsburgh,
rather. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
In the same state, anyway.
Thank you, Jim. You came to my rescue. Is that like horseshoes? It counts on me. Being close counts as in horseshoes. Well, then Betty and I were playing a little game here. Oh, it's a wonderful day out there. Nice to be alive and above ground, that's for sure.
P-T-I-S.
Yeah. This is it, isn't it?
Certainly is.
Yeah. The weekend's here upon us.
We'll be able to
kick back and enjoy it, that's for sure. Who else would like to speak up and let us know you're here this morning?
Good morning, Monty. This is Dottie.
Dottie, how are you?
I am doing great.
Good.
Well, I know exactly what you're saying. The sunshine is awesome.
Yeah, good. Get as much vitamin D as you can today.
I've already been out walking, and yep, you got it.
Because down here in Delaware, we have clouds. Believe it or not, I sometimes love the rain because it kind of stops you from whatever you're doing and makes you relax, you know?
Yeah. Or else it makes you do work because it's so nice. This happens to me when it's nice out. I don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you lucky people here on the West Coast, the sun hasn't even come up yet. It's still dark. Well, excuse me, it's starting to get light out there in the horizon.
Uh-huh.
We got a whole day to look forward to here. Your days are 2 or 3 hours already gone.
I know.
Good. Body when the call is over, the day's half gone.
Exactly. And I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything but walk and listen to a call. That's okay. I enjoy the call.
Great. Well, we're certainly glad to have you. Let's find out if there's anybody else who'd like to speak up this morning. Let us know who you are and where you're from.
Good morning,
Darlene in California. Glad to have you with us. Anybody else? Okay, well then I'm going to go ahead and read the opening statement for each and every one of us that are on the call, and that's of course the purpose for the Advanced Lifestyle Call is to provide the most current nutritional and advanced product technology information in the wellness industry. When better health is attained, all areas of our lives will be impacted, and we all know, most of us know that's absolutely true. The people you hear today, well, some will be part of the Study Pilot group that are actively applying both the principles found in the China Study. And the China Study is a book. It was all about a survey, I'll use the word, no, it's not the right one, but in China, and over 880 million people were participants, and they found some great results. And for those of us that have the China Study, we've read it and understand it and got excited about it. And attending this call in no way obligates you to make any purchase. You are a guest. We ask only if you find this helpful and see benefit in anything you've learned, please pass on the call number and time to others. We'd like to thank you for allowing us to enter your home, office, or car, whether the sun is shining or it's not. We welcome you to the call. That is for sure. So, good morning, everybody. It's a wonderful day. Anybody have, and first of all, let me say this, if you're new on the call and you have any particular questions, or if you've been on the call for a little while and still have some questions, or you've been on the call forever and still have some questions, please feel free to speak up, because it kind of helps the call move along, and it also gives us information that possibly a question is going to be asked that has not been asked before, and if not, we don't have the answer, we'll definitely get the answer for you somehow in some way. But again, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being on the call October 5th in the good year of the Lord of 2007. Well, it's been a wonderful day for me, even though I haven't been up that long. But I'd like to start out, I don't, Maddie, you've been talking about sweet potatoes, am I correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just read something to you. Maybe it's called Hot Potato, and it was, I sent this article down to Char, and I guess she probably got out of town before she passed on down, but it says, just read it to you real quick, and it says, Spuds, of course, don't come with handy nutrition facts labeled, and they don't, do we? What other things do we find in the vegetable areas of our supermarkets, our farmers markets, our health food stores, and they don't have the labels on them like you do when you go to a canned product or a product in a box, which makes it easy to forget their impressive benefits. One large russet potato contains 63 grams of carbohydrates, 0 grams of fat, 8 grams of protein, and 7 grams of fiber. It also provides 64% of our daily value of vitamin C that's recommended by the government, which, of course, that might not be enough, but 53% of vitamin B6 and 1,600 milligrams of potassium, 3 times the amount in one large banana. You believe that? There's more potassium in one russet potato than there is in a banana, and most of us don't look at it that way, which is critical for fluid balance and muscle function. And here's where Maddie comes in, and we'll see. It says, one cup of serving of sweet potatoes offers more than 700% of your daily value of vitamin A, 65% of vitamin C, that's actually more vitamin C than the rest of potato does, and 7 grams of fiber. All potatoes are all rich in sources of antioxidants, and russets rank among the top 20 vegetables containing these free radical-fighting compounds. And contrary to belief, you don't have to eat the whole thing if you don't want to. People think that all the nutrients are in the skin, but that's not true, says Catherine Beals, Ph.D., an associate professor of nutrition at the University of Utah. While skipping the skin reduces your fiber, I'll repeat that again, while skipping the skin reduces your fiber intake by about half. The majority of the vitamins and minerals hide in the flesh itself. And when I read that, I thought, I've always felt like she just said that most people think that most of the nutrition is in the skin. Of course, being a diabetic, I've always been told that they shouldn't eat potatoes and everything else because it's high glycemic, and they are high glycemic, I need to let you know that. But I really didn't understand the true value of the potato. And it kind of amazes me. I know Maddie's been talking about sweet potatoes, so the idea about the sweet potatoes and all that nutrition and value that's in those potatoes are beneficial to her and Jim, that is for sure.
And though I wash them, Monte, I do not eat the skin. I go inside and take the insides out right before I put it on my plate.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. According to this article and this person from University of Utah, that most of those nice vitamins and minerals and nutrients that we need for our bodies are located in the flesh itself. Yeah, the skin provides the fiber, and I'm sure there's nutritional value in the skins too, but there again, that's a choice, and whatever your choice is, that is exciting. You're still getting value.
Patty?
Uh-huh.
Why don't you eat the skin of the sweet potato?
Number one, it's hard. When I bake it, it comes out crispy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not boiled or anything. Maybe if I boiled it, it would be okay. But I don't like that hardness. It's crispy, then it's burned, too, a little bit, if I'm sitting in the oven like that. Usually one side of it is dripped down with juices out of it. And that would turn like a dark black,
Uh-huh. Do you eat white potato skin?
No. I mean, sometimes when I make potato salad, on occasion, very few. Because I've seen Germans do that, they eat the skins a lot,
uh-huh.
And I would, but no, and you know something, remember I told you I had those purple potatoes in there?
Uh-huh.
I never made them. Now that we talk about them, I got this bin with all these potatoes in them, they must be in the bottom, I hope they're still okay.
So when you bake
potato, you won't eat the skin, is that correct?
No. Even when I bake potatoes, okay. I usually go inside and,
Okay.
One of the other things, and I took this article, I found this article in a runner's magazine, and one of the things it talks about now that how runners are now starting to understand the value of the carbs that's in the potatoes. So instead of them, it talks about here, what a lot of them are starting to do now for endurance purposes, marathons, whatever, is they are now snacking and carrying along with them boiled potatoes with them, and that's what some, a lot of them are now starting to eat. And the reason I say that, and they do that, and I mentioned earlier, that is the glycemic index, it is very high, so it does get into your system, your bloodstream, real fast. So that's why a lot of the big runners now, and marathons are now starting to utilize potatoes for purposes of endurance and getting quick energy into their body. So it's amazing.
You know, my grandfather, God rest his soul, was World War One vet, and when I was a child, he used to make pies out of the skin, sweet potato with the skin. I could never understand that, but now I guess. I haven't had it since then, since, you know, Maddie doesn't eat the skin, and neither do I, but it's just interesting. It brings back memories of how good that pie used to be, even with the skins and everything in it, and it's just interesting, some of the things you hear later on, and you wonder why some of the old-timers did some of the things that they did. You know.
Well, I can remember now, when you brought it up, Jim, Grandma used to make sweet potato pie all the time. Didn't eat it. I didn't like it, but I didn't eat it, but that was kind of a Sunday tradition around this family when Grandma was alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Amazing.
It's amazing. And some people, I have two children. One likes the potato and one likes the pumpkin. The one that likes the pumpkin, we buy it out of the store because I don't like pumpkin and we don't make pumpkin. We just buy it for him.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Also, you know, it falls upon us, and I don't know if how many of you get the Real Age newsletter, I'll call it, or that comes through on a daily basis from Dr. Oz, whatever, but today they have an article on there that says the three fall veggies that will help make you younger, and because they're loaded with carotenoids, I think I pronounced that right, if I didn't, just bear with me, but that is the carrot, the sweet potato, the winter, and the squash, and what these do, based upon the carotenoids in your body, it helps keep your body, it helps protect the DNA against cell damage that happens with age. So they're kind of recommending now with fall coming on, and of course there's a lot of carrots, probably 90 people in their gardens still might even have some in the ground yet, I don't know. But think of those if you're interested in staying as young as you can, as long as you want to, and that's carrots, sweet potatoes, and winter squash would be very good vegetables to include in your menus and in your diets. Here we are now into fall, matter of fact.
Along with our oxidants.
Yep. Great.
Well, I know this summer, Monty, I actually got sweet potato salad at the deli counter, and I asked them how they made it, and they just said that they used oil and vinegar, and they put some spices in it, and they had the scallions and celery, chopped celery in it.
Mm.
And it was delicious. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you never would think about it, you know, about getting that. Putting sweet potato instead of regular potato.
Well, yeah, we don't think of that. And that's one of the nice things about this call. And I know we talked about it a little bit this week and whatever, and that is being just creative in regards to our thinking when it comes to food, you know. Brenda was on the call, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, and she talked about, we were talking about wraps and what could you do with wraps and things like that, or tortillas, and she spoke up and gave us a lot of great information on how to take those tortillas and wraps and do things with them. Real value, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great tip. I asked a question about that, but I got into trouble though. I put peanut butter and I broke it up and I ate about three of them, and I'm like, oh, I don't think this is what they meant.
And of course, on that peanut butter, it didn't say the word hydrogen. Never mind. You know what I mean.
I know.
Yeah, we get back to those labels and everything else.
I know it was good, but you know, I've been there, done that, and that's the end of it.
Well, you know, and that's great. You know, this with the experimentation might be doing something here I should.
The one I says, I am in trouble.
We had bought those two big bags of tortillas, so we thought the ingredients were just great, but Nancy said, watch that, it could become addictive. Sure enough. And this morning, when my husband came down, I said, you know something, look how little there was in the box. We took the rest and we threw them out. We heard Nancy's voice in the middle of the night, and we said we got rid of it. You know, put it in and put some garbage right on top of it so we didn't have to dig down in there and bring them back out of there.
I'll be.
You know, I tried the, well, I made the lentil and rice, brown rice stew again. And this time here, I used the string beans. I bought frozen string beans. I mean, they're called, I don't know, New England blend or something like that, and it had yellow and green beans, and it had carrots in it. And I threw that into the stew instead of the vegetables that they had, and it was very tasty. It tasted different, and it was more bulky and really filling.
I just made the rice last night, and I had thrown in some zucchini and some garlic and eggplant, and I just dumped in some lentils with it while I was making the rice. So it's not a stew at all. It's just a mixture, and I put it into a wrap with some lettuce on top. It was wonderful.
My husband made a stir-fried dish. It was his time to cook. And he made a... Tell him what you made, Jim, because I couldn't even describe it. It was very good, though.
It was a vegetable stir-fry. It didn't need any oil base or anything. What I did was, it was frozen, came out of the freezer, and I did use a little light soy sauce, but very, very light. And we had that with the brown rice, and we had some leftover cabbage and greens, and we had that, and some soup, just a little cup of soup, and it was more than enough to eat, and it was really delicious.
That's amazing. Excuse me, this gets off the subject a little bit, but I was just reading. I sent a question to Jeff Novick, the gentleman that we kind of, a lot of us go to his website in regards to label reading. And I don't know if that name means, but I wrote, the question was, food for life, good choice. In other words, I asked the question, was I making a good choice in eating the food for life, which is the Ezekiel cereal? And I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'll just read this real quick to you, because I think there's some valuable information in here in regards to not necessarily the whole idea of what we are doing in Calgary. It says, the food for life, here's his answer. And you, matter of fact, if you want to sometime, you can go to the vegsource.com, talk Novick, and you can get his answer and look it up. But it says, the food for life cereal do pass my guidelines that explained in the video. That makes the guidelines of sodium, fat, whole grains, and sugars. However, there is one guideline I didn't cover in the video because it is extremely hard to explain in simple terms, and it's a relation to a food label, and that is calorie density. Calorie density is a measure of calorie per weight. The higher the caloric density of the food, the less filling it is, and the easier it is to overeat on, regardless of how otherwise healthy, and he's got that in quotes, we may think it is. To understand this better, let's look at two healthy foods, grapes and raisins. Both are very healthy, but what happens when you take grapes and dry them out, increasing their concentration and their caloric density and make them into raisins, you take grapes, which are 300 calories a pound, and make them into raisins, which are 1,400 calories per pound. Now, while you may not eat either of these by the pound, the impact of these is easy to see by looking at the effect in this way. One cup of grapes is around 60 calories. One cup of raisins is around 450 calories. This is almost 8 times the calories for the same measure because of the effect of the concentration, which would be easier to overeat on. The raisins, because drying them out and removing the water, concentrating them, decrease their volume and increase their calorie density. So in regards to the food for life cereal, here's the summary, I guess. Most, I'll read it again. So in regards to the food for life cereal, and that's the Ezekiel that I've talked about in this program, most intact whole grains average around 500 calories per pound. The food for life cereals are around 1,500 1,500 calories per pound. That's three times the caloric density and much easier to overeat on. So my recommendation is they're okay. But here's the caveat. But very high in calorie density. If someone was concerned about their excess weight or wanting to gain weight, these would not be a good choice. Or not wanting to gain weight, these would be not be a good choice. If they ate them, they would have to portion control their servings so they wouldn't overcome consumed calories. This would leave them having to deal with hunger, which isn't always pleasant. Now, he says, there is a trick on how to use this cereal and lower the calorie density. Make a large, nice large bowl of fresh berries and fruit, which is very low in calorie density and very filling, and then add a small amount of the cereal on top of the fruit as a crunchy topping. This way, you have diluted out the high caloric density of the cereal with a food that is very low in calorie density. Now you have the best of all worlds. The cereal you like and a large filling, low calorie and healthy meal. Hope this helps in health, Jeff. So, there we go.
It's like adding, my husband likes to add raisins to his oatmeal. So, you know, instead of eating a bowl of raisins, he'll add half a dozen, and that satisfies him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting correlation there.
Yeah, and it is. And I think sometimes that's why we go on a particular way of eating or whatever, and we think, well, this is healthy for us, so we don't realize sometimes we really jump into that. We really like it, and I enjoy the Ezekiel cereal. I don't utilize that much. I haven't really weighed how much I utilize, but I don't put very much in a bowl at all, because by the time I put my almond milk and rice milk on it, or whatever I'm using, it gets a little soggy, because I choose it to get soggy, and I let it sit there for a little while, but I really enjoy it, very much enjoy it. But that was, here he's talking about a healthy food, okay, that meets his whole grains and his sugars and his sodium and his fat content. So, you know, I didn't look at it this way, but he allows me to look at this in a different way in regards to my cereal. But now, in turn, because that little light bulb has come on, it now allows me to look at other things that I'm eating that I might really enjoy and choose to eat lots of, but then understanding what could that calorie density be.
And is there any way to find out what the calorie density is of the cereal?
I have no idea.
Yeah. But it's interesting with the raisins and the grapes. It certainly takes a lot more raisins to fill a cup than it does grapes. And
yeah.
That's a part of the problem.
He's got another article here. Somebody wrote him about popcorn. And I know we've even talked a little bit on the call. And the nice thing, he talks about popcorn. He talks about pretty much about the same thing. And that is the density, but he says the nice thing about popcorn, see, popcorn, despite it being fluffy and appearing to have lots of volume, a key benefit in the world of calorie density is still a calorie-dense food coming in around 1,800 calories per pound. The reason people think it is low in calories is because it is the fluffiness/volume. However, that fluffiness volume comes from air, which doesn't add a lot of weight. In addition, after popping, it remains a fairly dry food. In addition, you chew, and here, Nancy said something yesterday about crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, in addition, you chew most of the fluffiness volume out of the popcorn. So the volume from the fluffiness of the popcorn never makes it to your stomach. Because of this issue, it is calorie dense and not very filling. Therefore, it is easy to overeat on. That was a question somebody else asked him. I forget what the question was. Somebody asked him a question about popcorn. But he says, so this is a food that though technically is a whole grain, if someone has a weight problem, should be limited. And I didn't think about pardon? And I didn't think about that, but, you know, we eat all that, you know, it's fluffy, it's whatever, it's something to chew, but yeah, by the time it gets to the stomach, there's not much fullness that really arrives from it, and that's why we can't sit down to popcorn, as an example. And I've done this in the past, and I've eaten a tremendous, you know, it's easy to eat a whole bowl of popcorn. But not realize, because I don't feel, when I'm done, I still don't feel full. But now this, again, explains to me why I don't feel full, but yet understanding that calorie density in the food that we eat. So.
And it's probably the same thing with the rice cakes.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. I just love this. I just love this site, because there's other people ask a lot of questions, and I've asked several questions on here, and he's come back within 12 hours, or matter of fact, one day it was within an hour with an answer to my particular question. And if he's already answered a question, he then refers you to the site where, or the question where the answer is already there. So
it sounds like it goes right back to Whole Foods.
Yep, exactly.
It's interesting.
Whole Foods, whole grains, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing how sometimes we think things are real healthy, but he says anytime you turn anything into a flour or it's processed, he says, you know, you've actually taken that whole grain and you've made it a processed product. And he says not that it's still not healthy for you, but just understanding that the healthy choice of the two would be the whole grain. So
maybe you just answered my problem.
Well, I don't know, hon, but I get a lot of good information on this.
And why it's not moving. And, yes, I eat popcorn, and I've been eating the rice cakes, and those are two biggies, sounds like.
So.
Oh, my.
Oh, well, that's what.
I'm glad I learned that.
That's what we're here on the call for, is to, you know, when people have information, to speak up and let us know about it and ask questions, and doggone it, we can get the answer. That's for sure.
Honey,
yes, Jim.
It's kind of interesting that this morning I've run out of my Ezekiel cereal, and thanks for the connection to the Ezekiel cereal. I enjoy it very much.
I do, too.
What happened is I had some Kashi 7, what is it, 7 grain?
Mm-hmm.
And instinctively, I put a lot of fruit in the bowl first and then put very little of the Kashi 7-grain cereal in with the rice milk. While with the Ezekiel cereal, I need very little of that and very little fruit. I mean, it's just I feel so much more fulfilled with the Ezekiel cereal than I do with the other, the Kashi 7-grain. It's just something I don't know, it's the body kind of connects, or the expression we used to use, that the body doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel different with the Ezekiel than I do with any other cereal.
I know when I eat the Ezekiel, I'm the same way. I don't put that much in the bowl. It amazed me. I mean, the first time I did, I put quite a bit in the bowl. And man, by the time I got done eating that, I felt like I was stuffed, you know. And I don't know if it's because of the whole grain swelling up or whatever the situation, what causes that. But boy, I really cut back on my Ezekiel. But, you know, the one thing I like about the Ezekiel, for me anyhow, is I don't get that craving between breakfast and lunch.
Right.
That I usually do, eating something else other than the whole grain cereal. So I, you know, maybe that's why. Maybe it is why. Well, I know this. I know when I put it in, and that's when I started. I used to eat it right away when I put the rice milk or the almond milk in it. And right now I'm using a combination of the two, but it was real crunchy and everything else, and that was kind of satisfying too because you had to chew. And then one day I think I got a telephone call, or what was it? I ran to get the answer to the telephone and left my cereal in the kitchen. And when I got back about 5 minutes later, boy, it had swelled up. It was, you know, quite a bit more than what I had originally put in there, and it was a lot softer and hard, but nonetheless hard to chew. But I just loved it. Yeah.
Well, I am sorry to hear about the popcorn, because that's the only reason that I like going to the movies.
Yeah, well, he's talking about airplane. Maybe I should have said this, too. I read this, too. In the traditional world of nutrition and portion sizes, a one-cup serving of popcorn is around 25 to 30 calories. In the same tradition world, a serving of whole grain is around 80 calories. So around 2.5 to 3 cups of air popcorn would be a traditional serving, okay? And that's what he's saying. So if you take, for instance, like if you ate, let's say, 3 cups of popcorn, and he's talking about air pop now. He's not talking about the kind you throw in the microwave and pop or whatever that's got the extra additional oils and butters and everything else on it. He's talking about totally air pop popcorn. So that would mean then if 3 cups, that would mean you would be only consuming with 3 cups 240 calories.
So what kind of popcorn is that in the movie? Is that air pop?
Oh, no.
No, you never watch to make it. Nowadays, a lot of them don't even make it anymore. It comes in bags already popped.
Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know if it's been outlawed or not, but it had a lot of trans fats before.
You ain't kidding, it did. I used to sit there when I was younger going to the movies. It was amazing how much butter and stuff they put in that popcorn as they poured the popcorn in this big pop set up there. And then they'd take and pour oil and put chunks of butter in there, and I'd go, oh, I loved it. I just, it was the most delicious, satisfying, healthy food I ever ate in my life. You know? But anyhow, so I enjoy my Air Pop popcorn, and that's one of the reasons I so when I saw again that little blog in there and it talked about popcorn, I definitely punched on his answer to that one and found out what he had to say about
that. I told you, Charles, 5%.
Yeah, money. How many cups? How many calories was it to three cups of popcorn?
Three. Well, there's 80 calories to see. It says one cup serving of popcorn is around 25 to 30 calories.
Okay.
And it says, 25 to 30 calories. Let me see. Maybe I read this wrong. In the same traditional world, a serving of whole grain. Oh, I did read it wrong. I'm sorry. It says, in this same traditional world, a serving of whole grains is around 80 calories. So around 2.5 to 3 cups of popcorn would be a traditional serving. So what he's saying here, that would equal out to about, if you took 3 cups then of popcorn, that would only be, if it was Air Pop popcorn, about 90 calories. So that's where he's making the comparison there, and I missed it. I explained it wrong to you. It wasn't 240 calories per cup of popcorn, 3 cups of popcorn. It's only about 90 calories of Air Pop popcorn.
So then I'm wondering, Morgan, do you hear what I said? Whether or not that would, the regular popcorn, fall into that 5% that Char speaks of. You see how I'm trying to dance around you, right?
I know you are, but that's quite all right. Just grab my arm and swing around. You know, one of us is going to get hung. I don't know which one's going to get hung, but one of us is.
Now, that Ezekiel, or is it in the stores? I've never seen it.
I get mine from the health food, the co-op food store here in Olympia. Jim, or Maddie, where do you get yours from?
Well, a lot of the health food stores carry it. As a matter of fact, Whole Foods, if you're near Whole Foods, they carry it as well. But
it's right next to mushrooms.
How do you sell it?
Excuse me? I didn't hear.
How do you sell it?
Just like a book of the Bible, Ezekiel.
Okay.
No, what that should tell you is, I don't know how to spell it.
It's easy.
What is it?
E-Z-E-K.
Wait a minute, easy?
Right.
Easy.
E as in zebra, E as in Edward.
Yep.
Another E.
Yep.
K-I-A-L.
K-I-A-L.
Help make a bread.
E-K-I-A-L.
E-Z-E-K-I-A-L, right.
Oh, okay, only one E. Okay.
And then also on the back it says 4.9. And that's amazing because if you go to the Bible and pull up Ezekiel 4.9, you might be amazed what you read.
Really?
But anyhow, we'll leave it at that.
She says one E, it's exactly two E's. It's E-Z-E and then K-I-A-L.
Yeah, there's only one E in the middle, right?
Oh, right, only one E in the middle.
Yeah, and also it comes in, I like the original, but I'm telling you, and now that I read that thing about raisins, I did get one that was called cinnamon and raisin, and when I opened up the package, I think I made this statement on the call one time, I said, if you love raisin bran, and nowadays when you eat raisin bran, there ain't too much raisins in it, but I'll tell you, when I opened up this Ezekiel raisin, cinnamon raisin one, I could not believe the amount of raisins that were in that product. And now what I just read, I'm glad I chose not to buy the raisin cinnamon anymore because I really don't like raisins that much. But they have different ones. They have, there's an original one, there's one with cinnamon and raisins, and I think there's a couple other brands. But I love the original myself.
But I was amazed. I mean, I don't know how much this costs, but I mean, even cereals nowadays, you know, they're almost $4 a box, which I remember you used to get them for $1.99, you know.
There's also Ezekiel bread and buns.
It wraps.
That's something else, that round stuff we got.
Is there a website, Monty?
Yes, if you go to the company that produces it is a company called Food for Life. Now, I haven't been there. I've been on the net to different areas and pulled up. You know, Matt, do you remember that site that, wait, I got it here. Char talked to us about it. It was called Asuras, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
You can go to Asuras, because I think you can kind of go, just check in, you put in your search engine, just put Food for Life, okay? Uh-huh. And that should bring you up to a web page or a bunch of web pages that talk about it, and you might see the word Ezekiel or something like that or whatever, and click on that, and that should take you to their home web page. And there it tells you the nutritional value, what's in them and everything else. And they're all all basically whole grain. I mean, they're sprouted. Most of them are sprouted. Everything I know that's in the Ezekiel cereal, I believe, is sprouted, most of it. Yeah.
You talk about Ezekiel bread and where you can buy it. Here, this is Margaret. At Kroger, they have in the natural food section, they have the Ezekiel bread and cereal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Margaret. I know when I was buying, when I was eating bread on the lifestyle call, that's where I got mine. I got mine. I think it was the Top Foods in the natural section is where I could get bought my bread from. And it was actually frozen. And then it was a big, big surprise. I just kept it right in my refrigerator, the bread, and it lasted me, you know, eating about 1 to 2 peak slices a day at that particular time. That lasted me good for a long period of time and never go bad. But I always kept it in the refrigerator, not in the freezer, but in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. Well, my gosh.
I have a question.
Go, Nancy.
Maddie, was it you who was talking about your knees yesterday?
Yes.
Long time ago, I dislocated one of my knees, and I remember from physical therapy at the time, an exercise that I still do to this day when I think of it. Whenever you think of it, tighten your thigh muscle and hold it for like 10 or 15 seconds, and this strengthens the muscle around the kneecap.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or comments at this time, because we're past the half hour here? Okay, then I'm going to wrap this Friday up, October the 5th, with a little two paragraphs out of a book called The Rave. It's called The Rave Diet and Lifestyle. It's one of our books of recommendation, and I'm on page 64. It's called The Pursuit of Happiness, and I'll leave you all with this today. It says, the golden life is to die young as late as possible. The relationship between diet and disease is as old as the Bible. You may recall the biblical story of Daniel. After suffering through ill health, Daniel made a radical proposal to take the servants off their rich royal diet and put them on a diet of vegetables and water. In only 10 days, the servants looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other men who had eaten the rich royal foods. You don't have to eat just vegetables and water to achieve the health of Daniel's servants, and the reminder of this book shows how to eat a wide variety of delicious foods that will do wonders for your health and well-being. It says here, the Rave Diet is an elegantly simple solution to the health problems that are tearing apart the very fabric of our lives. Instead of complicated drugs and surgery, diet, and I'll repeat that again, instead of complicated drugs and surgery, diet can replace them all and begin bring simplicity to your health and balance of your life. Our bodies are incredibly smart, folks. We have over 60 trillion cells interactively and automatically coordinating their activities so that we can go on with our lives without having to worry about our health. But when we introduce bad foods to our bodies, we start to destroy this finely tuned masterpiece. Balance is lost and the preconditions for disease set in. Our bodies scramble to recover and regain balance, but so long as bad foods keep coming in, they will remain out of balance, and over time disease will set in. Our bodies are extremely forgiving of bad habits, but only up to a point. And when they have had enough, people will get a wake-up call like they've never had before. Have a great weekend.